Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday night, so you know what that means. A hard cut by Ryan on the music, because that's what he thinks is funny. It is me, Ryan of the Mark Order Podcast, joined, as always, by my co-host, Joe. Once again, still missing for a while. Hopefully we get her back soon as Kate. So it's just another two-man team tonight. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
Not too shabby. Living life, I guess you'd say. I really don't have anything to say to that. I wish I had a good response, but now life's pretty boring. Anything new? Anything exciting that you want to?
Well, tomorrow I got to go to California for a weekend, so I'll be out in L.A.
California.
I'll watch my poor Nebraska football team probably lose out there, so.
Here we go.
That's the Rose Bowl. So it's the Rose Bowl. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you guys are probably gonna lose.
Yep. Other than that, let's see what else. I've spent way too much time at the dentist lately, so that's been fun. But I don't know if you've ever had like a deep pocket cleaning in your gums, but that's what I had, and it was interesting.
I haven't, and would rather not have it, to be honest with you, but, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Taylor saying that he hopes Kate recovers soon. Me too. She's been out there with it, so hopefully she's not completely down for the count. You see her on Tuesdays and whatnot, but she does need breaks, unlike before where she could just roll with it.
I think we call that load management.
Too many jokes, too little time. But it is a Sixer strategy, so, hey, Pieces, Scott George, Big G. But yeah, we'll see. I think she wants to get back. I don't think she likes, she doesn't talk AEW anywhere, so I think she misses talking AEW, as weird as that is. Yeah, she's all WWE all the time. Mm-hmm. But I kind of rely on her for the news because I don't remember the news for the week most of the time. That's just where my brain is. Anyone?
Well, I'll be kind of away for a few weeks, so maybe she'll pop in sometime during this next month.
Say that again in English.
I said I'll be away for a few weeks, so maybe she'll pop in sometime in the next month.
Oh, I can't count on her doing that. But we'll see. Like I said, I'll try. Joe kind of saying it. He will be missing for pretty much most of November, which means we'll be hit or miss some shows. I will try to grab a guest for a show or two. I can already tell you that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is a no-go on the show. That's just too tough for. I got stuff I got to prepare for the family, things like that. So, no. But we'll see. Looking at the news for the week, all I had was that Tomohiro Ishii got hurt his shoulder or something. So that sucks.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't his neck or lack thereof.
So you have to have one for it to get hurt, I think. I'm So, and I think Brian Cage, sorry, I was making sure I understood what Brian Cage's injury stuff, because he had worse news for it. Apparently he had some like implant put in his knee or something and it didn't adhere to the bone. So he has to get another surgery. So not good injury news from AEW this week. Was there any other news, Chad? If you have any news, please let us know. Cause I, I, I think it was one of the most quiet weeks in wrestling in a long time.
Not a bad thing.
No, thank God. Because usually when it's not quiet, it's because like, very, I mean, sometimes it's because something cool, but often it's because, you know, somebody did something stupid. You know, oh, wrestler A said or did something stupid, and you're like, why, wrestler A?
It does feel like AEW or, they kind of go through these waves of injuries, whether it's, you know, Brian Cage still being out. Like Pisa said, Queen Amanada, you have Penelope Ford, you have, you know, all these different talents just kind of on the shelf for X amount of time. So it just kind of goes in waves, but thankfully they have a deep enough roster.
I mean, that's part of the reason you have to build an extremely deep roster, even though if you're, I mean, this isn't me defending them not using people, because they absolutely should use people more than they do. But it's part of the reason you build a deep roster, even if you don't always use someone, because people are going to go out. It's wrestling. It's someone's going to get hurt. It's just the way it is. So, yeah, that sucks that she's out. That whole women's tag tournament feels cursed. Though I do have comments on the match tonight, which was very good, and my prediction looks to be coming true, but we'll hold there. But yeah, it was a relatively quiet week. I'm still waiting to see if chat comes up with anything, but I doubt it, because
I know it's in the show, but let's want to talk a little bit about this national championship.
Yeah, well, because it was before the show, so it was announced in before that Big G saying that their Netflix might be buying Warner Brothers. I won't believe any purchase rumor until I see it, because I mean, I definitely believe they're getting purchased. That's not me doubting that, but just, you've heard how many different, and that would seem odd for Netflix, because I don't know. Also, let's be clear here. And I know this is the funny thing that always makes me laugh when people talk about, like, well, if Warner Netflix, and I'm not saying Big G is saying this, so I'm going to be fair here, but when Big G or not, Big G, but when other people other than Big G say this, they're like, oh, if Paramount or if any of these buy, or anyone who has a WWE relationship, I should say, they're like, well, if they buy them, there goes AEW. I'm like, what makes you think that these companies won't just air two wrestling products? Like, unless they're in their contracts, they have an exclusivity thing, which I highly doubt. Why would they, like, they wrestle, they show multiple sports across things. Like, as long as it's not, the only thing they won't do is cannibalize their own audience on the same night. So you would stick to like a Wednesday, Saturday thing for eight, but they're not going to be like, hey, all of a sudden this thing that has value is getting live viewers that is liked. You're going bye-bye because we have something else similar on a different night. Yeah, that just doesn't, at least in my opinion, that doesn't make sense. I understand, like, I get it. Like, the fear of, like, if Netflix is a weird one, I will say that, because I don't get them wanting Warner, but we'll see. Hello, 1LT photo, or I should say hello. So yeah, on Twitter or whatever tonight before the show, though it is announced on the show as well, Tony Khan announced the creation of the North American title. It was met with a resounding why, in my opinion. People being like, another title? Didn't you just combine two titles because you had too many titles? Like,
not North American.
What do you mean?
You said North American. It's just national.
National. Sorry. I guess, what is it? NXT in my head. National title. Creation of the national title, which is same thing. They're just, but my point being is, we still don't need it. We don't need a new title. We just really don't. There's just too many titles.
And the fact that we have people confuse national title for international a couple of times throughout the show tells me that we have probably too many titles, and this could have been what the Continental title was to begin with.
Yeah, And then also, like, I mean, this all plays into the ROH thing where they still don't have that clearly delineated enough, though they've been getting a little bit better of not putting those titles on AEW TV as much, which I appreciate because that was crazy. You know, to have, but just too many. And Sky saying it looks like the NWA national title. It's basically what it's trying to be.
Well, that we just announced after years of wanting this, the women's tag team championships, right? So why do I feel like this is getting like, no, let's throw in a men's belt to like take up some of the spotlight.
Like, yeah, this should all be about the women's. You're dead on. This should all be about the women's tag. We've been wanting it for how long? They finally do it. The tournament is admittedly a little snake bitten because of injuries, but yeah, why are you announcing?
Yeah, because you'll have this you'll have the battle for this belt, and then you know going after that, we'll get into C2 season. So there's lots of things that are already, you know, occupied with a lot of people. So like, I don't know why you need to add another men's title to the mix.
Now this is 1LT just put something out there that I didn't hear, and if this is the case, it is changing my mind slightly. And that's that they said it will be defended across every company, even indies. I still think it's too many titles. However, that's a bit unique, where if it's actually defended less on AEW and more on the indies, but kind of like ties in, I'm not against it then.
Yeah. But they were doing that with the, whatever, the Continental or whatever championship it was.
It was international, I think, originally, or was, well, whatever it was. Whatever it was originally is what they did when they were doing it. But they only did it a little bit. So it really depends on the amount that they do it. Like, if they're only going to do it a little bit, I don't want it. But if it's going to be regularly defended on the indies, even if it's a we know that the guy's going to win every time on the indies, still, that's neat. Like, that's a cool little feature, and it helps the indies out to be like, hey, here's this belt from AEW that's coming around. Because what my next statement was going to be until I saw that is that, you know, and Peace is pointing out they had a title that they were supposed to do to where they were supposed to do that, and then just a rehash. It is a rehash of something they didn't follow through with all the way. Like, they should have followed through with it more. And Scott saying give it to someone like Kip Sabian, who's on TV but not used all that often, even when he is. Yeah. Basically, you'd be paying someone to be like, go out on the indies, make some extra money, and defend this title. And I think that'd be awesome. But what I was going to say before that is my biggest annoyance with all of AEW's titles on the men's side, for the most part, and pretty much just the men's side, is there was never a clear delineation of what it annoyed me about. Annoys me about WWE's, annoyed me about WCW's back in the day, even when I was a kid. What does each belt represent? Like, you have your world championship, fine, that's the pinnacle. TNT originally was the open challenge belt, which was awesome. That was the belt where every week it could be lost. I thought that was cool. It had an identity. That identity's gone. Then you had international, which for a little while was defended elsewhere, but then it's not. So it lost its identity. Continental had a cool classic, but besides that, had no. So they all felt this. They were all attracting the same wrestlers, all had basically the same rules, and they were all at the same level with the world just being above. Mm. Whereas, if you were going to create all these titles, and I'm not saying create a cruiserweight division, that's not my point, but to create a division, a title with a division with rules or stipulations that make it different.
That's a championship.
Like, truthfully, yes, that's a great example of ROH doing that. Now, obviously what they're doing now is a whole different thing, but what ROH did right when it was really ROH, because they said, we want another title, but we need it to be something other people, something different, not the same. So here it is. You have to be in the pure division and you have to abide by these special set of rules. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. I could have saw something with like, no, not, I know how much they love to play on the history. So I get the national title, but yeah, to your point, doing something like an elite championship or something that kind of their own, that they kind of build rules around and kind of bring this new title to life would have been interesting. I do have a question about who you think would be a good national champion, or who you see fitting that mold.
So the funny thing is, I know where my head went, and where my head went is no longer a possibility. So honestly, I'm going to say someone who would have been perfect. He's still technically on their site, but like, he's not with them anymore. And that was Danhausen. Because he's a guy who's constantly on the indies.
I have two names in my head.
Well, why don't you give me your two? Why I think of my two? Why I think my names?
I'll give you a face and a heel. My face will do Brody King.
Okay.
And for my heel, I'll go Josh Alexander.
I'm going to agree with you on Josh Alexander. He should definitely be one of them. He does the Maple Leaf Pro. You can bring the belt up there if there's no issues with whatever. Again, I liked the Danhausen. I'm looking at guys who I think are on the indies a lot. So like Danhausen was one because he's constantly on the indies. You could do someone like I'm literally going through the roster page to see if there's anyone on. I think Josh Alexander might be the perfect one, but
here's my first choice.
Yeah, Kip Sabian wasn't a bad call. Someone like that to go around.
I feel like you need an established name enough. So like when they go to all the different places, plus Josh has been around a lot of these promotions already, like you said.
The first one's always going to be a bigger name.
Mm-hmm.
To like say, hey, this is our guy. So I think that's probably the perfect one. Plus, it's a belt for the Callis family. That's who I'm going to go with now. I mean, there's a lot of obvious options out there. Like, not obvious. There's a lot of options, I should say. You have someone like Kevin Knight, who's on split contracts and stuff like that. Like, those guys work. But yeah, I think Josh Alexander is probably the perfect one. He likes wrestling. He can go around to a bunch of different indies. He could realistically, and he could defend it. No one would be mad that he keeps winning because he's Josh Alexander. So like, let him keep winning. Ooh, he's not built up enough yet, but he's not built up enough yet in AEW, but that'd be Ace Austin.
Yeah.
A fun guy who could just go around. I'm thinking just who'd be fun, like really fun at like showing it off. Or though they seem to have the weirdest relationship with him I've ever seen is Leo Rush, another guy who they don't really use him to his full potential. Let him go on the indies and earn like matter for the company. There's a lot of options. That's the one thing with AEW letting its people on. But I only care about this if they let him actually wrestle on the indies more than like twice.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a regular thing. If it's not a regular thing, I don't care. I mean, I'm barely caring now with the possibility of them wrestling on the indies. If they don't, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I guess another name I would have thought of maybe was if he was healthy, it would have been like a Nick Wayne.
Oh, that would have been a good one. Yeah. I'm trying to. Yeah, they have a good roster for putting people out like that. A lot of it's going to depend on what level they want what level the person's at. Like, you know, the first person's going to have to be a name. So like Josh Alexander's perfect for that. But after that, I would more choose someone who's not used all that often and let them go have some fun while kind of building up a reputation that's good for them. You know, like it could re-help build up a guy who needs it. Since Kate's not here and has been, hey Jesse Ozak, it has been a while. Hope you're doing well. We're doing well here. Your timing is odd because I think Joe and I are wrapping up the conversation on the belt, which means we're going to go into commercial. Am I wrong?
Nope, you're right.
See, I called that right. So we are part of the Shining Wizards Network. There are a lot of great shows on the Shining Wizards. So we're going to do what I don't always do, which is go to the Shining Wizards commercial so that people can hear about these awesome shows on the Shining Wizards Network. So as I find the overlay, which is right here, and then I hit commercial block, We'll be back in a few minutes.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. It doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
and we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves, and when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs, I'm talking Jacks, I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rope podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Nards plows. I like Nards plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast with two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport, all right? And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Rowe, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rowe podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing! You got a slight one in there. If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
Sorry, overlays were being weird. So we are back from commercial. Check out all those great shows. Tonight we are talking Dynamite from someplace, because I forget where it was.
Houston.
Houston, thank you. I never remember where they are. That's bad on my end. And we featured the Blood and Guts Advantage battle that started tonight. We'll see.
I didn't realize I didn't know if it was just one match they were having tonight, or I didn't realize it was like a best of three.
I had the same issue. I was like, I always love when they're like, if a third match is necessary, it's like, come on, it's wrestling. A third match is going to be necessary, and you're going to give the heels the advantage because it's a blood and guts match. Like, this is just how this works. I mean, look at the third match for the men's side, which would be on Collision. It's Roderick Strong versus John Moxley. And listen, I think Roderick Strong's awesome and could at some point, if they booked him right, be considered a contender for Moxley, but not right now, not the way he's been booked. So you have that. And then on the women's side, it's Harley Cameron versus Tekla. And like, I love Harley Cameron. They're not having Tekla lose. So like, what are we doing? But anyway, first of all, hi, Fernando, just joining us. Thank you. We start the show with Tony Schiavone in the ring to talk about the new national championship. I'm going to call it North American. I can't help it, but the new national championship. But he gets interrupted by Samoa Joe, because last week, Tony Schiavone helped Hangman impersonate himself. Tony Schiavone helped Hangman impersonate Tony Schiavone. He kept talking while Hangman dressed up as him, and then Hangman beat up everyone. So Samoa Joe's like, hey, actions have consequences and we're going to hurt you, which honestly, fair. I know people are always an announcer, but it's like you didn't have to help Hangman Adam Page, but you did. So security runs out and it's got to love the security somehow looks all like wrestlers. I don't know. And yes, one LT, I said Samoa Joe. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think some of them were the poor guy dressed up in costumes last week.
Probably. Those poor, poor guys. But of course, security isn't what's really going to stop. Here comes Hangman Adam Page. But, oh no, it looks like even with Hangman there, they're not outnumbered, but security only counts as like a half a person. All the guys together only count as like a half a person. So it's Hangman and it's one and a half versus three until Hook and Eddie Kingston run out. Eddie Kingston holding a crutch to use as a weapon to save the day. Pretty standard stuff. We find out that they will have a match tonight, trios match for the trios belts. It is Hangman, Eddie, and Hook versus the Ops. So fun. Sure. You are still crazy, 1LT, even though I did say Samoa Joe. So then we move on to our... Do you have anything to say about that opening segment? Let me stop there. Do you have anything to say about the opening?
Nope, pretty standard. You know, it kind of sets up the main event, kind of bookends it. So, yeah.
The only part I want to highlight, first of all, again, I appreciate that Samoa Joe is not actually wrong. Like, Shawnee kind of did help him. But I do appreciate that Samoa Joe kept his calm for pretty much all of it until Hook called out Joe. And then Joe really got mad, like lost his mind. And I just think that's a fun little thing to include because obviously Joe views Hook as like his former kid protege type deal. So like he would be madder at the disrespect coming from there than if it was coming from, say, Hangman. So I just thought that was a nice little character moment from someone who's very good at their character. Hey, Trey Sounds, thanks for joining. So then we move on to our first match. It's Claudio Castagnoli versus Orange Cassidy. It is a blood and guts advantage match. This is kind of what you would expect from Claudio versus Orange. Claudio in control, a lot of it, a lot of power, but Orange doing his reversals, his big moves. And listen, I'm a huge Orange fan, so I love that he's doing all this, but it's a pretty typical Orange versus big, powerful Claudio match. You kind of knew what it was going to be when it got in there. What is surprising, though, is that they did have Claudio win by pinfall pretty clean over Orange Cassidy. The reason I think it's shocking is it's Orange Cassidy really is like, I feel bad for him in some ways. Like he's always right on the cusp of being their guy and they just never seem to pull the trigger on it. And Claudio, I don't know what they're doing with him. He's not a mid-carder. He's not a main eventer. He's a mid-venner. I guess if the story you want to tell eventually down the road is that Claudio separates from the Death Riders and he kind of steps up, this is a good way to start it with a big win over Orange Cassidy. Like have him continue win, have him continue to look good. So again, it's not that I don't think he deserves to be Orange Cassidy. He's at that level. It's just like, I guess I think in my head, I was expecting Orange Cassidy to win. I don't know why. What did you think?
I didn't think Orange would win because Darby was facing Daniel Garcia. So
that match was happening.
You have to bounce that out a little bit. Excuse me. And Orange is a guy that is really going to be over. He can take losses. He already has built his name through the first couple of years on AEW. The fans know who he is, know what he's about. His credibility is there. So he can take losses and Claudio and be fine. I just liked how he started the match on the attack, which sometimes he starts a little slow. So I like that they switched that dynamic a little bit and had him come up, attack first, and then Claudio work him over at the end. But yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with Claudio matches. But I am with you that I hope they can do something so he gets singles titles in AEW. I think the only singles title he had was the ROH world title.
Yeah, I believe you're correct that that's the only one.
So I feel like you're getting, you know, kayfabe, like you're held back by doing the bidding of John Moxley. So hopefully you can break away from that.
Yeah, they need to shed. He needs to separate out from Death Riders.
Give him a national title for all I care.
Yeah, honestly, yes. But he needs his. I feel like if he breaks from the Death Riders properly, you can either make him a massive heel or a great face, and I think the crowd would be okay with both of them, both those turns, because he could either get on the boot from the Death Riders because he and Mox start clashing, even though he's winning and Mox is the character's a little egotistical and can't handle it, or he gets mad that Mox is leading him where they shouldn't be, and he steps up and takes it. So either way, it works out. So then we have a very interesting backstage where you have Renee Paquette interviewing Mark Briscoe, Don Callis, and Kyle Fletcher. And they have Briscoe go through what happened a couple weeks ago because, you know, he got kicked in the family jewels to lose. That's what Fletcher had to do. And he says, you know what, let's just get rid of, let's just make it so that it's not a worry. We'll do a no disqualification. Don Callis counters with a very interesting proposal. Cause like at first they didn't want to do it. Mark Briscoe's like, what, you want career for title? And I'm luckily Callis is like, no, I don't want your career. He says that if Mark Briscoe loses, he has to leave the conglomeration and join the Don Callis family. Now, I have a couple opinions on this. One, I was done with this rivalry already. This had happened a few times. Whatever. Two, I don't want Mark to have the title, but I don't want him to leave the conglomeration. And three, why did they do that to me? What are your thoughts?
I'm with you on most of that, I think. I thought when this match was going to happen before the stipulation came along that Mark would win this. I like that they threw the stipulation out there to make me second guess myself and make other people second guess themselves and think about what Mark Briscoe and the Don Callis family would look like or can be. I can't remember. I feel like there's another story that AEW did not that long ago where it was the whole, like, if you lose, you join us, but it didn't happen. I can't remember which feud that was in, but I'm going to guess that Mark Briscoe wins, but I'm intrigued now, though, more than I was.
So Jesse asking, but don't you want to know what the Don Callis' word of the day would be? Yes, I do, but I don't want him. But then you won't have Kyle O'Reilly reacting to it, and that is what makes it all fun. I'm with you. I think Mark Briscoe somehow pulls out this match. I'm curious to see what they do with Fletcher then.
I do like to call him MJF interference, because he is about apparently wrapped up his film.
But that means Fletcher would win, right?
Yep, no DQ.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't want Briscoe and the Don Callis family. That family has too many people as it is. I need it to split. So
it'd be fun. It'd be kind of like entertaining for a week or two, but after that, like, all right, we need to get him back out of that.
Yeah, that's yeah, no. I'm not digging that. You know, and he can win and lose the title right away anyway. So I'm trying. So the only thing I can think of is they are kind of hitting at splits in the Don Callis family. You have Dikesha obviously on the outs. I'm wondering if someone cost accidentally I'll phrase this, cost Fletcher the match. I don't know who, but there's enough members you could put someone out there. And they start to go kind of with Takeshita on the way out. Like, that's how they kind of shave some people off. I don't know. It's an interesting... It's just too many people. Just way too many people. So then you have another interview. So back-to-back Renee segments and back-to-back Don Callis segments, which is just fascinating. Talking about how the Bucks are going to team with Josh Alexander. And then they're asked, like, hey, are you part of the Don Callis family? And they don't really say that they won't commit. And they say they need some time. But Okada, who walked in, said, just don't take too much time. And this is kind of a nothing segment to me. I don't know if you have any thoughts on it.
No, I think it's just a slow build to the Bucks, turning face.
Yeah, I think that's, which I'm fine with. I think they've been heel a long time now. Let them have their face turn. See, yeah, 1LT, I don't think they're going to join. I think they are going to turn face. I think they're going to see the error of their ways and turn face. So then we have a women's tag title tournament match. Athena and Mercedes Moné versus Babes of Wrath, which is a great name. To me, the story of this match was Willow. Anytime Willow was in the ring, her team was in control, and then she was always the hot tag, obviously, but they let her display her power, her strength. She always seemed to be in control for the most part. And then Harley would take the bumps and the whatever. So I really think this was to establish Willow as, like, really the powerhouse, the force of the team. The end of the match gets a little crazy. It was a great match. I mean, I'm not going to say anything about it. I actually think everyone showed up, and as pieces saying, Harley's best match in AEW. Harley looked really, really good. Like, Harley belongs on the team. They work very well together. They are clearly setting up a dynamic, and it works. Harley is the person in peril. Willow bails her out because Willow's a monster. So at the end of the match, you have Billy Starks run down the ring to get Athena's belt. Now, the funny part about that is apparently, I guess Billy didn't pick clothes to fit, because if you watch, she was literally holding up her pants the entire time she ran down to the ring. I just had to laugh at that. I don't know why it stuck out to me. She goes to give Athena her belt when Statlander comes down, kind of hits her, missed most of it, but it was the camera angle made up for it. Ended up, Statlander makes a route and ends up chasing Mercedes Moné away because Mercedes is afraid of her. And that's when you have Athena go for a title, the hit with her title misses, and the Babes of Wrath hit their move, win the match. My thing here is, one, I just want to point out that I think Billy Starks running out of the ring trying to hold her pants is funny to me. Two, I said when they announced the tournament, I think Babes of Wrath are the ones that are going to win it. I think that's who they're making out of this tournament. They have the matching gear. They got all the love of the crowd. This only solidifies it to me, beating Athena and Mercedes. So what'd you think of the match? What'd you think of the outcome? What'd you think of the whole thing?
Match was fun. I really was impressed with how well Mercedes and how Mercedes and Athena worked well together. They had a lot of good combo offense. Athena displaying her power, like someone who looks that small, like pretty much carrying Harley and Willow on her shoulders, and then doing that, Samoan drop fallaway slam with them. That was my favorite move of the match. But I'm not mad at this outcome. I think we kind of saw Harley and Willow winning, and winning with a little shenanigans at the end to help them. Makes sense. I'm not sold yet that they're going to win the title. I can easily see them losing to the, Sisters of Sin or whatever they're called. There's a lot of variables, a lot of outside interference that can happen in these tag matches.
Oh yeah, I forgot after the match the sister. No, that was later on. That was later on, wasn't it? Yeah, that was later on.
Yes.
Yeah, there is. I think to me it's the Babes of Wrath. I think they have a name. They're clearly the most loved team. That's who I think it comes down to. But I understand your point. There's just a lot of variables. And
so would you think it's gonna be like Babes of Wrath versus Bang and Shafir?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Babes of Wrath take it. Because I don't think Bane and Shafir, they're thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're clearly already building them for different stories. So, like, I don't think that's who you come away with. They then announced a title that we talked about already, so we don't really need to talk about that. But they do bring to the ring Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin with MVP, so the Hurt Syndicate, because apparently both of them are in the match, which is, I thought it was a singles thing, so it's crazy that like we're going to highlight groups. Because as they're talking about, as MVP's talking about the history of this belt, out comes the Demand, all in their jacket robes things, which I really like. It's a cool look. You know, he starts talking his stuff and makes fun of them for being old.
Kind of how you feel about Briscoe and Fletcher, I feel about the Demand and the Hurt Syndicate.
Yes. Now, I will say Ricochet's in the match. Ricochet winning the belt would be, and when LT's saying it too, Ricochet would be a fun person. To win the belt, because he would have some very fun indie matches, and he would be a good first champion because of his prestige and all that. And it would be fun to have him have a belt. Jesse, what are you talking about? Who injured what with when now? Jesse, I heard they injured passersby.
It's like I hurt people.
Oh.
Being facetious.
I legitimately thought it was maybe with the match, the run-in, someone got hurt. That's my fault. That's where my mind's at tonight. They do hurt people. Yeah, I'm done with the feud, though. I don't need it anymore.
What if they hug people?
We hug people. We hug people. I mean, it could work.
Yeah.
We move on. We have a quick Jurassic Express promo where Jungle Man Jack takes out a $100 bill as they stand in front of the Don Callis family locker room saying, "Hey, I hear Young Bucks, you need the money." And he puts it on a table and stabs it with the knife he carries. And then Luchasaurus goes to try to take it and Jack's like, "Leave it." So that was kind of a funny moment. I will say, if he walks around with a knife, no one's ever going to jump him backstage because they'll get stabbed.
And so he brings a bigger knife.
Or a spoon.
Or a nail on a board.
And they'll have a board with a nail so big they can't control it. I see where you're going. I see you played Knifey Spoonie. So yeah, there's nothing really to this. Just more of the same. I mean, I'm not complaining. This story is a little fresher, so I'm not really complaining about that yet. But just where they are right now. So then we have the second Blood and Guts main advantage match, and it is the Daniel Garcia versus Darby Allin match. And this was, I really enjoyed this match. The story of this match was Darby does the things outside the ring. He does the more high risk, the more violent, and Daniel Garcia wants him in the ring where he can out wrestle him, be technical, do all the fun stuff. There's even a point where it said like Daniel wants to get him in the ring. It's a commentator's flat out say like that's where he's going to win. But of course, the irony here is that Darby Allin won with a Scorpion Deathlock. So Darby Allin won with a wrestling move. Just saying. And that tied up the Blood and Guts at 1-1. Post-match, Pac hits the ring, beats down Darby Allin. So Orange Cassidy makes a save. Then basically everyone comes out. And for some reason, Mox targets Kyle O'Reilly and brings him into the ring to hurt him. But Roddy Strong like jumps over his arm and makes a save and for whatever reason and hits Mox. And for whatever reason, Roddy Strong hitting Mox makes it so that the entire Death Riders flee the ring, even though he still had the man advantage. don't understand that logic at all. So my thing is, what'd you think of the match? Do you understand that logic?
Match is great. Match is fun. I really like watching Darby when he does mat wrestling. Whether it's on the ground, like with grabbing ankles and reversing, or locking in this deathlock, scorpion deathlock. I think it's fun. And to see this match, we got everything we wanted. I think we got Darby diving, Darby bleeding. You got Daniel Garcia crushing his shoulder, Darby's shoulder with a steel steps. So we hit all the notes on this match. So no complaints there. After the match, Moxley going after Kyle because he's probably still a little butthurt from, losing the last two matches to him. So I understand that part. Yeah, don't understand why five or six people run away when Roddy hits a knee to Moxley. Makes no sense, but sometimes that's just wrestling.
You know what? That might be the best answer you could have given. It's just wrestling. That's what wrestling is. Sometimes it doesn't make sense.
I feel bad that Ryan's probably going to lose, though.
Yeah.
Ryan can't beat Mox for whatever reason, even though I feel like he should be the one who is booked like Kyle has been booked against Mox.
Yeah. Though I don't know. I love Kyle. I wish they would make more of Kyle and Roddy as a tag team.
Yeah.
Like a serious threat to the tag team because they're both so good. We go to commercial. We come back. FTR comes out to the ring without Stokely. They talk about becoming the number one contenders and that they're going to win. So they call out Brodito. Music hits, but no Brodito. So Renee goes to the locker room where Stokely is leaning against the door and you hear pounding noises on it. Obviously, they're locked in. Stokely asks Renee if she wants to watch The Wire. Always a good call. So FTR goes out to the outside of the ring where Bandito's family is, and they start picking on Bandito's family as they are to do. Gravity's out there, so a wrestler who defies everything because he's Gravity. They bring him into the ring. They go to beat him up. We do a cut to the back where you see Stokely leaning against the door and then a fist punch through. And clearly, Brody King cut away because realistically, I don't think Brody King had to unlock it, but we're going to. Anyway, they cut away. Stokely comes running out to the ring. FTR's like, what's up? Out comes Brodito. They make the save. To me, this was just fun. I didn't mind this. This was just silly fun.
The amount of fake walls and fake doors they build with drywall in AEW, it's a sight to behold. It was fun. I like the fact that it felt like when Brody punched through the door or whatever, it looked like it was like that close to Stokely's face. Like, I feel like if Stokely wasn't perfectly all the way back into the wall, he could have caught a stray. But yeah, good fun. I think FTR wins.
Yeah, I do too. I think I love Brodito, but it does seem like it's time for FTR once again. They haven't had the belts in a long time. And not for nothing, I think it's time for them to have it. Pieces thought Dax was going to get the chancla, which I think is the shoe off that she hit you with. If TV's told me anything, I go by TV. We have our next Blood and Guts Advantage match, but this time it's the first one for the women. It's Megan Bain versus Mira Shirakawa. Tony Storm is on commentary. This was a lot about Megan Bain's power. I think a lot of her matches are about her power, but Mina being Mina was not never out of the match. She was reversing Megan, hitting her own moves, but it seems like every time Mina started to get an advantage, Megan's power just put a stop to it, which is a good way to use a powerhouse wrestler. I can't really complain. Megan Bain with one with the Liger Bomb, so they're up 1-0. Post-match, Megan Bain starts beating over Shirakawa, but Toni Storm returns to the ring, the steel chair. However, Triangle of Madness I'm going through my notes and I'm all out of order. During the match, Toni Storm got attacked by, how am I blanking on the name?
Marina Shafir,
thank you. I keep seeing Mina Shirakawa. I'm thinking Marina Shafir. I think she's getting choked and you hear her like on commentary, like, hell, which is really funny. So she runs to the back to fight Mina. That's why she wasn't there. Megan Bain's beating up Shirakawa. Toni Storm runs out with a chair. Then the Triangle of Madness comes out to beat up Storm and Mina. But then Jamie Hayter and the Babes of Wrath come out. So basically you have the two sides of the Blood and Guts match staring each other, one in the ring, one out of the ring. Oh, Mercedes Moné walked down the ring at one point, but realized she didn't really want to get involved until Statlander came behind and just clocked her. So that was fun. I guess, one, what'd you think of the match, and any thoughts on the post-match brawl?
Match was fine. It wasn't really a doubt that, you know, Megan Bain was going to win this one. I felt like it was kind of almost like a make-good for having her tag team fall apart due to an unfortunate injury. The thing that it feels so layered with, you know, you have, you know, Megan Bain and Shafir attacking Toni and Mina. You have, because, like, you know, you have the tag team tournament, right? But then you also have the Blood and Guts angle stuff. So it seems like a lot going on of, I don't know, it just seems a little bit too convoluted as far as storyline going on here.
I'm with you. They should have dealt with Blood and Guts before they did the tag titles, but, you know, what do I know? It just feels like you're right. That they're overlapping stories that didn't need to overlap at this time. I'm much more interested in the tag titles taking. I want each thing to have its moment to shine and not have to shine together, I guess, is my.
I don't see the Blood and Guts having much of a. I don't feel like that match is going to be as good of a story. It's gonna be a lot of spots and a lot of like moments where the tag tournament feels far more special to me as far as storylines and more than just a one-off.
Yeah, agreed. So we then go to our main event, which is a Hangman Adam Page, Eddie Kingston and Hook versus the Ops. Trios match, so it is clusterfucky, which I like. I mean, I'm not criticizing.
Fun to watch. Hard to really like break down sometimes.
Because there's a lot of out of the ring stuff, and then they get back in the ring, and sometimes they lose track of who's legal because I think they lose track of who's legal. But at the end of the day, Hook tapped to a submission from Powerhouse Hobbs. Hook's back was like kind of a story for him. He had just come back from a back injury and all that, and they're saying that's weakness, and they keep hurting him. They're clearly telling the story that Hook is struggling with the Ops, and he's the weak point. The match was a lot of fun. The only thing, I guess, and maybe I didn't see it, and if someone wants to tell me I was wrong, but I don't think I was, I always wish for established teams to operate a little more smoothly than the ones thrown together, and I feel like they operated at the same level, but still, it was a fun match, and Hook being the weak one works so long as you let him rebuild out of it, so long as you let him become the strong one. So, what'd you think?
I mean, him being the weak one, it makes sense to me. He's the youngest, most inexperienced wrestler out there on that team. Plus coming back from injury. So I get why he's the weak one. I'm personally fond of the outcome of, you know, the ops winning. Like you said, established team winning. That makes sense. And then I just think he gives Joe a win, even though he's not going to win against Heyman. The only thing I thought I had watching this match was I'm not a huge fan of how Eddie has been booked since his return. I miss the psychotic, crazy Eddie Kingston. We've gotten kind of like the jokey big brother Eddie Kingston right now, and he hasn't really been put into he's like they're kind of slowly putting him back into the fold, and he's not being inserted into really big programs or like individual programs. I feel like I miss a certain type of Eddie Kingston.
I completely get what you're saying. One LT saying he wants Eddie to cut a wild ass Eddie promo. Big G, we need gas can Eddie. Fully support what you're saying. I feel like they wanted to slow roll him back in. He wasn't. The stories had gotten to a point. There were plenty of times in the Death Rider story where he could have come in and been some psychotic Eddie, and it would have been perfect. But they had kind of moved past that by the time he was healthy enough to come in and do stuff. So I think they wanted to slow roll him, which is get him back on TV, get him back. But I do think psychotic is coming. I think this is just, we didn't have a story that fit his psychotic side yet. So we'll let him be for a little bit. And then something's going to happen where gas cans Eddie comes out again. And I'm all for it when that happens. At least that's my opinion. I could be wrong. But I think they've done this with him before where like they let him calm a little bit and then he spikes, you know, like kind of like. So, yeah, I haven't been a huge fan of it either. The way he's been booked, it's just been, hasn't been bad. It's just not been Eddie. And I guess that's where, I don't know. So that was our Dynamite. What do you think about it overall?
Pretty solid. I'd say, you know, want your fun scale?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. I got the media. Let's go.
I don't have decimal points in it, but I would go like a 3.3.
So that really falls in the 3 when you're around it. So it's a lot of fun. And honestly, I would stick there. I don't think it hit the 4.
No.
And I don't think it was a 2.
Nope.
Am I just doing this to show the faces? Yes. I think it was a 3.3. I'll go 3.3 with you. So I'll go a lot of fun.
Not a 1.
It was a. Yeah. Oh, hold on. I almost got it. Not a 1. Which is just a healthy dose of fun. Wasn't Kate.
Ooh, but no, if you have a show next week with Blood and Guts, you can
a bloody fun time. So yeah, we have I love the fun scale. Oh, gotta take it off. Forgot to take it off. Love the fun scale. So yeah, that was, I agree with you. 3 funds. Chat seems to agree. All right. So that was our Dynamite for tonight. Again, I'm gonna try to at least get a couple more shows in this month. Joe Kai said he had a step, he's not stepping away or anything. He has a couple busy things coming up that just, and Thanksgiving screws the whole thing up because we were never going to do a show that month, that week, because the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is brutal. So, but I will have another one, at least one more this month. And then eventually we are going to get more consistent as Kate gets back into the rhythm, as Joe's life and my life calm down a little bit. You know, we should be all right. So we'll get more consistent. Just keep an eye out. But Joe, when you're not here, which again, now we're saying won't be for a little while, where can you be found?
Oh, I'll still be around on the social medias at _AsianJoe. So I'm sure I'll post things here and there. I still need to do some more cereal review blogs. I still have that. So if you have any new cereal out there, let me know. And I will try to find it and do a review. In the meantime, Ryan will pick up the slack and produce some history content.
I will. I appreciate the pass. So I'm manning our socials at Mark Order Pod. But when I'm not doing that, I have a history blog here for history.com, which I will have new stories coming up. The reason they've been delayed is because I'm going to try to time them out with the fact that I do now a weekly mostly weekly show called A Historian Learns About. So it's where I talk about the topics that I've learned about, which I'm not an expert. I have one coming out at the end of this week. I will have one next week. And then once I get things timed up, I'll have new stuff coming out on Rolling Both. So hereforhistory.com, Here for History on YouTube, @_ Here for History, or @HereForHistory on whatever socials. And then, like I said, you'll see me here doing the show. Don't worry. So with that, I'm going to say thank you to the chat for everyone tuning. You guys make this a lot more fun. We hope to, once we get more consistent, would be a lot more fun to chat with you guys. And this is where I go outro. And I go outro.
The Mark Order Podcast. We now return.